Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again this week on the same subject on which I spoke last week, the vocation of motherhood. I was talking about the necessity of a deep understanding of our calling as mothers, cooperators with God, shapers of destiny. But we must also understand deeply and clearly what marriage is about. Is it merely falling in love? To fall in love is only a beginning stage, and sometimes that doesn't happen at all. But you learn to love, and you choose to love. And as I said to one married couple at the reception, they asked me to say a word, and this was my word to them. You married each other because you love. But from day one, that means tomorrow morning, you have to love this person because you married her. Love is a choice. We must build something much greater than ourselves. In building a home and a family, in becoming a father and a mother, our job takes more and more of sacrifice and self-giving, concern for the other, the intention of unity. Do you want a thumbnail sketch of how to preserve a marriage from divorce? No marriage will ever crack up if you go by these two simple, but not necessarily easy, rules. Number one, the intention of unity, and number two, concern for the good of the other person. Marriage takes sacrifice. Love always means sacrifice. A home means sacrifice. A family means sacrifice. Children mean sacrifice. But ask us who have been given the privilege of being wives and mothers and grandmothers, was it worth it? We would say in unison, yes. 1,000 times, yes. But there's a price to pay. The first self-offering leads to the second thing, self-fulfillment. The world has it all backwards. You've got to find yourself, fulfill yourself, actualize yourself. No, that's not going to happen. You're not going to find peace or happiness in seeking self-fulfillment. But if you offer yourself, abandon yourself, completely lay down your life, give up your right to yourself, you know what's going to happen ultimately? A fulfillment, a joy, a calm, a peacefulness that you could never have imagined in all the traipsing all over the world looking for self-fulfillment. Self-offering leads to self-fulfillment. Now, we talked about some of a wife's temptations. One of her temptations is to view his career as a rival, failing to realize that it is their career, and her job is to encourage and support him in that. And the other temptation is to spend all her energies simply on retaining his love instead of giving him new heart for the work. Her vocation is still to minister to the work, and if she does that, then her faith and love and strength will win back for her the fullness of his love. Whereas if she sets herself up as a rival, she will at best triumph only for a time, because you cannot frustrate half of a man's nature indefinitely. We talked about the power that sex gives each one over the other's will. It's a dangerous thing, a terrible thing. It can be used to teach and to save, or it can be used to destroy and to ruin. A woman has to come down off her pedestal as a goddess and become a worker in the kitchen. In the Bible, we read that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Have you thought much about what Joseph had to do? He had to make the decisions. It was Joseph to whom the angel spoke when they were to escape into Egypt. It was Joseph who provided and protected his wife and his child, that holy child to whom he was, shall we say, foster father. But you can't imagine the life at Nazareth without imagining the wisdom, sometimes the unspoken wisdom, that Joseph must have learned from Mary. Protective love and pity with which she, too, in her different way, surrounded him. She identified herself with the work that he had to do, as a wife ought to do. But you can't imagine the life at Nazareth apart from the complete dedication of Joseph and Mary to the work and to the vocation of their son. It was a painful thing. They had to suffer as they watched this child grow up. He had the tears and the smiles of any little child. He must have skinned his knee once in a while. All we know is that when he was 12 years old, he had been so thoroughly taught, undoubtedly by Mary and Joseph, that he confounded the teachers of the law in the temple. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now think of that. Jesus, who was God, emptied himself so that he had to learn. He had to grow in wisdom and stature. And the Bible says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Amazing. Have you thought much about their marriage? What was it like? Well, we certainly aren't given a clue, are we? We just know that Joseph took care of Mary. He had faith in God. He was given dreams. I think there are 5 dreams mentioned in just the Christmas story alone. He had to make the decision to go to Egypt. He was the one responsible before God for the plans. He provided, he protected. These are principles that any man who has a wife would do well to study. But he also learned wisdom from Mary, perhaps unspoken. Mary was a woman of great silence. In Peter's epistle, he tells us women that we should have a gentle and a quiet spirit. Surely Mary was a woman of a gentle and quiet spirit. There are very few words that Mary ever spoke. And do you know what the last ones were that are recorded for us? It was at the marriage in Cana, when they ran out of wine. Mary's word to the servants, the last thing that's recorded in the Bible, was, "Do whatever he tells you." The destiny of every Christian is to know the love of Christ. Ephesians 3 says that we are to be able to comprehend how wide, how long, how deep, and how high is the love of Christ, and to know that love for ourselves so far beyond our understanding. So may we be filled through all our being with God himself. Now that passage, of course, is for all of us, men and women, single or married, parents or childless. But because we are created women, we are meant to be feminine. We are created to be mothers, to give to the world, not just to our families, a special understanding of the length and the breadth of the love of Christ, and to ponder deep down in our hearts the mystery of that love. Mary knew the length, the breadth and length and depth and height. And as one writer meditates on Mary, this is what he says. She knew the length because she knew, she saw in her son's story, that immediate failure is often ultimate success. And apparent success is often ultimately failure. I'll read that again. She saw in her son's story, in Jesus' life, that is, that immediate failure is often ultimate success, and apparent success is often ultimately failure. Can you think of instances of those truths in your own life? Haven't we all experienced some crashing failure? And out of that, have learned priceless lessons which we could not have learned in any other way? Mary knew that what is wisdom to men is often folly to God. And those who share in her vocation have to share in her length of view. Theirs is the majesty of bringing up souls for God. You mothers, can you remember that phrase? Yours is the majesty of bringing up souls for God. Your eyes fixed not on the immediate and often illusory objectives of money and social advancement, but on the ultimate objective of the fullness of eternal life. Think of that as you make decisions for your children's education, for their college. Is college a place where they are going to learn the ultimate objective of the fullness of eternal life? If not, how much more serious is your responsibility to teach that at home? They have to wean their children spiritually as well as physically. Teach them to be independent. Give them to the world. The vocation of motherhood. No calling could be higher.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.